Now this is my kind of party. Grab a friend, bring the guns. It's time for the Co-Opticast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Co-Opticast. This is episode 45, our special E3 podcast. It is Sunday, June 27th, 2010, and I am joined not only by the illustrious Nick Paleo, but by the Internet's Jason Love. Hello, Jason.
Hello, guys.
How have you guys been? It's been about a week since E3, and you should have been able to sleep off the malaise by now.
What is sleep? What is this sleep you speak of?
It's that thing you do at night.
Oh, that's not what I do at night.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Oh, we're earning our explicit tag this time.
We are.
Yes. So, you guys are back from the show. Have you been able to play any games?
I've played a couple. Actually, not really. I played one round of FIFA yesterday. I wanted to play the U.S.-Ghana match to see what would happen. And I lost in the FIFA game, and the U.S. lost in real life, so...
So it's your fault.
Yes, exactly. It proves that my FIFA playing has cost the U.S. the chance at the World Cup.
Well, I think the U.S. I think the U.S. lost that match because a good friend of ours is actually serving with the Peace Corps in Ghana right now.
Oh yeah.
And we were actually, we joked about it, but if Ghana had lost to the U.S., she might have not had as good a time. But let's say.
Played that, and I played through the Crackdown 2 demo twice. And that's pretty much been the only games I've played since E3.
So, what'd you think about the Crackdown 2 demo?
I like it. I mean, it's we got our chance to play it at E3, actually. It's pretty much the same demo. But I think the only gripe I have, and hopefully that it gets tightened up, is the auto-aim, like the aim lock.
Oh, yeah.
It seems to be a little... It tends to go towards the explosive stuff maybe too much instead of the guys you're trying to aim at. So,
well, I've also noticed that when you try to change it to target a different body point, or particularly with cars, if you try and shoot out the tires, because Nick, you're the one who showed me in Crackdown, and that's the most fun thing to do. So I was trying to do it with the demo, and it was really tough to switch the aiming to the tires of the cars. It kept wanting to go to like the fenders and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I actually had a lot of trouble switching between if there were two or three guys standing next to one another, it would have a lot of trouble switching between them. So, it wouldn't be Crackdown if it wasn't half janky, so I suppose I suppose that would be what we need to, overcome this time around. But it's great fun. I really liked how the announcer basically says, well, if you want to get this orb, you need to find some friends.
Yeah.
Can't. It's just taunting you. There's an orb right there. And the orbs that you have to chase were pretty entertaining. And, it's fun. Although I was a little surprised. They said they'd improve the melee combat, and I don't think they have at all.
Yeah, I think like, extended the combo that you do. You still just tap one button.
Yeah, and instead of roundhousing the dude three times, you might punch him twice before the roundhouse, but it still does the same weird stuff with the camera and everything.
Yeah.
But like I said, it wouldn't be Crackdown if there weren't weird issues. But the movement, the traversal felt a lot, it felt the same, but it felt smoother, if that makes sense. Maybe it's because the frame rate's gone up a bit.
Yeah, the frame rate's really smooth.
Yeah. So that all you've been playing?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, Jason?
Crackdown 2 demo, played that a few times. Probably my favorite thing so far is wait for it to be night, and when all the freaks come out, just drive my car down the boulevard, creating green splatters on the windshield and stuff like that. Yeah, that's pretty fun.
Have either of you guys done the trick that lets you play the demo without a time limit?
No, I missed it because they patched it. By the time I actually got to the demo, the patch was out for it, and I couldn't do it.
Darn.
Yeah, unfortunately, because I would have definitely loved to have kept playing.
Yeah.
But that, and then I finally wrapped up Red Dead Redemption yesterday.
Nice.
It's good. It's a good ending. It still feels like a good Western story. Wraps up pretty well. Probably the first and only Rockstar game that I'll get 100% in, actually, too. because I didn't have to go running around the world looking for various hidden collectibles. I just had to pretty much play the game and make sure I did all like the missions and stuff in order to get 100%. So that was pretty cool.
Cool. Have either of you been able to try the co-op DLC? Because I grabbed it, but I haven't had time to hit it up.
Same thing.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Were either of you surprised, like I was, that it was only 11 megs?
Yeah. Well, actually, what that surprised me, but then I went and I looked at the DLC for Battlefield, Bad Company 2. It's 800 kilobytes. I was like,
That sometimes that means it's already on the disc.
Yeah, but the thing is, that game came out, like, I think February.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, if it's just, like, another executable you'd had to download, basically, and they just reused all the content that's on the disc.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But yeah, so we should definitely hit up some of that Red Dead co-op, because I haven't played that game in a while, and I've been meaning to get back to it.
Yeah.
But I have been playing the Crackdown 2 demo. I picked up Blur, which is completely awesome. I love that game, at least for the multiplayer, because the single player actually sucks hard.
It gets really hard really fast.
Yeah, it's... The multiplayer doesn't suffer from Mario Kart syndrome, I find, but the single player does. Where you'll be in first, and then all of a sudden, like, 50 things hit you.
Yeah.
All of a sudden. In multiplayer, if you're dominating a track, you know, you're not going to get caught. So, you know, it rewards skillful play in the multiplayer, which I like. But, yeah, that single player, I got past, like, the first set, and, you know, it wasn't that I had to retry something 50 times, but it was just annoying. Like, I'd be in first place the entire race, and then literally 100 yards before the finish line, someone would take me out. Really, really annoying. I've also been playing a lot of Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, which is incredible. I love it. I can't wait to try some of the co-op out in that. But it's a great portable game. It uses the PSP in really smart ways, and you know, it's got two of my favorite voice actors doing the doing the gravelly voice at one another, Stephen Bloom and David Hayter. Just watch the intro of the game and watch them try and out gravel the next guy, because you know it's only cool if you talk like this
gravelly voice.
Metal Gear, yeah. So I've been playing a lot of that, and they finally re-released Final Fantasy IX on PSN, and that is my favorite of the PlayStation era Final Fantasies, so I've been playing that, and I could gush over it for a while, because it did things with the PlayStation that few other games did, and only in hindsight did I really see it. So.
Which one is 9? Is 9 the...
9 is the one that's more of a throwback to the Super Nintendo type ones. It's the one where you're playing Zidane with the monkey tail.
Monkey tail.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's got kind of the super deformed art style, and everything's just a little more, you know, it's edgy like the PlayStation ones were, but it still has a lot of the humor that existed in like 4 and 6 and whatnot. And it's just a beautiful game. So that's enough about what we've been playing. Let's talk about E3, guys. You guys were there.
Yeah.
And, I hear it was tiring and kind of like work and not at all like a vacation.
Yeah.
I also hear that you were in kind of a hooker motel and there were gunshots fired.
It was the hotel. It was the hotel.
Yeah, we checked in and there was definitely prostitutes checking out. So that was our first like, experience. It took us like a half hour to check in because the freaking guy at the counter did not know how to use a computer.
Oh, wonderful!
So we were off to a good start, and then I guess it was the first night, right, Jason, that the shots were fired, or was it the second night?
It was the first night that we were there because we were coming back from the Connect event.
Yeah, and we're walking back, and we were starving. We hadn't eaten anything, so we went to a super ghetto 7-Eleven and a really ghetto McDonald's. The best was like, okay, so it was a really ghetto 7-Eleven, but they had a doorman. Of course, the doorman was a bum trying to get change, but so
that's awesome.
We walked to McDonald's, and Scott calls me. He's like, "Dude, where are you guys?" And we're like, "We're on our way back." He's like, "We just heard gunshots." Like, oh, Jesus. So we hustle back, and we get to the hotel, and the shots were literally across the street. There's cops, like, posted at the doors and stuff, and, like, we're just going to our room.
I heard, I think on one of the, it was either the last day of E3 or the day before, that the Lakers beat the Celtics or whatever, and there was, like, rioting in the streets and cars honking horns all over the place, and...
We were at the airport at that point. We were like, we are getting out of here before the city burns.
No, seriously, like, it was scary. Like, it was like you could feel the tension in the air. Like, it was like you expected the place to blow up. There were thousands of cops. Like, every street corner had at least, like, half a dozen cops around in the corner, two in the middle of the road. I mean, people were just pouring out of every restaurant. I almost got tackled by a cop because I was trying to cross the road.
Yeah, you did.
we were just trying to hustle to get back to the car, and the crosswalk was changing, so I just like tried to make a gun for it, and she's like, she ran out, she grabbed me by the shoulder, she's like, "Where are you going?" And the crowd like erupted, and I was like, "Yeah!" And I'm like, "What the fuck just happened?" I had no clue what
was
going on.
We're like, "Nick, stop! Nick, come back! You're making her mad!"
She's like, "It's closed down there." I'm like, "Closed? I said our car's down there. How do we get there?" It was scary.
That's madness, and you got tackled by a lady cop.
Yeah, she put the move on me. I didn't like faceplant into the concrete or anything, but she definitely grabbed my shoulder and spun me around. And
hardcore.
No tasers were involved too. So.
You hear that, readers? This is what we have to do to get you the finest co-op news out of the E3. Oh my god, that's awesome.
So,
but other than being beaten down by lady cops, well, let's talk about E3. And I figured we can go ahead and recap the big three press conferences, because that's where a lot of the big stuff comes from. And I'd like to start with Nintendo. And I can tell you from my perspective, as someone who was watching these on live streams, that, you know, sure, the Zelda demo not going so well was kind of embarrassing, but I think the 3DS overshadowed pretty much everything else they showed.
Well, heck, even like the next announcement or whatever that they had overshadowed the Zelda demo. I mean, they were just like one big thing after another.
Yeah. Yeah, they were nonstop. They were just gut-punching Sony and Microsoft over and over that entire time.
Well, I think to a certain degree, like from like we said on the, if people listen to one of the COG podcasts, I had said, like, none of the stuff they really announced, like, except for the 3DS, I cared about. Like, it was all for, like, Nintendo fanboys. Like, it was all franchise revivals and, you know, this sequel and that sequel. It wasn't, like, anything new, really, except for 3DS.
I will accept a fanboy sequel to Nintendo games because they're usually pretty darn good.
Yeah, I want to like them, and I every time I'm like, oh, this looks great, and I pick it up, and I get bored within a half hour, usually, so...
It's because there's no achievements, Nick. We know.
Maybe. That could be the problem.
You're like, I just beat level one. Where's my achievement? Ugh, fuck this. and then the Wii goes to your parents. Or your bookshelf.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first time I ever went to Nick's place, he's like, yeah, here's my collection, and here's all my games, and here's my Wii, and it's downstairs, away from, like, all the rest of his stuff. Like, on a shelf with DVDs. If you didn't know it was a Wii, you probably wouldn't have noticed it was there. I think we know what you feel.
I told you earlier, I picked up a PSP Go today because I traded in a bunch of stuff. I think the only game I kept for the Wii was, let me see, this Super Punch-Out, House of the Dead Overkill, and that's it. So, yeah, that's the extent of my Wii collection now.
Yeah, it's not that I really, you know, use my Wii a lot, and this is treading down a slippery slope, but the few games that are really good for it are good enough to warrant owning the system, I think.
Yeah.
But, I'm really into Nintendo stuff for the handheld, so the 3DS really jumped out at me, and I was super jealous of everyone that got to play with it, because I could honestly care less that it's a 3D machine. I really like the fact that it's a decently high res, powerful handheld. Nintendo usually doesn't, put the most high powered of stuff out, and yeah, this is probably, only a few steps over the PSP's graphic capability, but
Did you get to see it, Jason?
No, I still didn't.
So I did get to play with it a little bit, but it wasn't any of the games that they had. It was just their little demo reel kind of a thing. So it had a few like little interactive 3D things you could do. I think it's fair to say that it's probably on par with the PSP in terms of graphics, maybe a little bit better. The 3D itself, it's definitely cool. And it's exactly like there was a video we had posted a while ago. It says, is this what the 3DS looks like? And someone had basically mimicked kind of what it would look like on a DSi. It used like the camera to kind of get.
That's actually a real DSi game. The one where you're looking in the room.
Yeah. That's almost exactly what it looks like when you're playing it. It's just that it's got a big depth of field look to it. It feels like you can reach into the screen. Nothing pops out of the screen at you. It's all back into it.
So it's different than what we're used to when someone says 3D.
Yeah. It's nothing's flying at your face or anything like that.
You said it was just like that TV that we saw over in the THQ area, right?
Yeah, THQ actually had like a big like 42 or 50-inch HD TV that used the same technology. For the Blob game. It just gives you a lot more depth to it. It's, it's like Doom versus Quake, maybe, in terms of, if you want to talk about like a jump in technology, what it looks like. So, like, we all thought Doom was a 2D or 3D game, but then we saw like Quake, and we saw, wow, okay, this is actually like a 3D. It just gives that extra step into it.
A little extra oomph.
Yeah. It's not going to, like, blow your mind. At least not the demos that I saw. Maybe once it gets in developers' hands and they start using it for a while, a year or 2 years down the road.
Right.
I think the big question, of course, is going to be, what's the price of this going to come out at? I mean, could we see a $300 handheld from Nintendo?
I don't think they will. I think the highest I could see them putting it out for is $250. But I really do think they'll try and put it at $199, but that's just me guessing at what Nintendo does.
I don't know. I mean, you got three cameras on it. You got all the wireless and all that good stuff, the extra graphical stuff, the 3D screen. They're not ones to lose money either on their stuff. They don't generally sell their hardware at a loss, right? So,
right.
They are such a massive like tidal wave of profits right now that
They could
afford to put it out there at 200, and they'd still end up seeing benefits in the long run, because there's going to be a ton of people who snatch that thing up.
Especially, let's
move on. Especially with the games they announced for it, there was an enormous list, and there are a lot of things like we're bringing a Final Fantasy game to it, and apparently there's going to be a port of Metal Gear Solid 3, which made me squeal like a schoolgirl. Star Fox 64, and the bombshell, which for some reason they didn't announce at their press conference, is they're bringing Ocarina of Time to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That would have blown up the audience
in 3D for the 3DS. And when that news came out, it's like, I just saw 60 million of these things get sold instantly.
Yeah.
Ocarina of Time, it's a great game. It's certainly not my favorite Zelda, but it is probably the most, beloved one by the majority of fans.
Mm-hmm.
And the slightest... It's like the Final Fantasy VII remake for, Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
It is the game that everyone will buy the fuck out of if it gets remade. And they're giving it a graphical overhaul, so it's not like the GameCube version where they just ported it over from the N64. Retro Studios has been quiet for a while. Everyone wondered what the hell they were working on. And, they're working on a Donkey Kong Country reboot, which, I liked Donkey Kong Country, but I don't really know if I want a new one.
Yeah.
It's got co-op.
Yeah, well, the other ones had co-op too, and it was they still weren't great. the aforementioned Zelda, the Skyward Sword, which I think looks, I think the art style looks really great. It's kind of the halfway between Twilight Princess and Wind Waker. It's really colorful and interesting. I guess in a way, it reminded me a bit of the last Prince of Persia.
Yeah,
that just came out, but the one before it's kind of the cell shading, but cell shading.
I gotta say that the Wii is really showing its age now. Like when it came out, it was like, yeah, okay, it's not great, but I think, what are we, 3 years after its launch now?
Well, you take a game like Final Fantasy 13, which is just like eye popping,
and stick
a Wii game next to it. It's really showing how stretched that system is, because Wii games haven't really improved that much since it launched. The good games still look about as good as the good games now, except when they do interesting things like Muramasa. The really nice 2D art looks great on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the 3DS, some of the games they showed for that look as good as a Wii game, so...
Yeah.
I guess we blew over this, but they did announce that they're bringing back Kid Icarus in what appears to be a rail shooter form, at least from what they showed.
Rail shooter / action sequences.
I didn't really like Kid Icarus, but for some reason a lot of people thought it was cool. I personally blame Captain N. But only because they chose to use as an iconic Nintendo villain the Eggplant Wizard.
Your Heinekus,
which really made no sense. But yeah, so they're bringing it back, and something else that's being brought back, but not being brought back. This is really confusing. GoldenEye
with
Daniel Craig. And it's not really the GoldenEye that we played on the N64, but it's really, really, really based on it.
Yeah, it's like it is, but it's just with Daniel Craig now instead of Pierce Brosnan, because I would say rightfully so. Pierce Brosnan was like, I ain't going to do that anymore. That was 10 years ago.
Didn't we do that already?
Yeah.
just use that stuff I did before.
Yeah.
What? My voice wasn't in the game? Oh, well.
So is there anything else from the Nintendo press conference that stood out for you guys, other than the absence of the vitality sensor?
The absence of Cammy Dunaway. I did see she was there at E3. I passed her in the hall at one point, so...
Yeah, I had actually heard from some other wrap-ups that people were wondering where the hell she was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, mysteries...
Oh, sorry.
No, you can go ahead. It's just a mystery to me.
The only other co-op game I can think of that they showed that looked kind of interesting was that Kirby Yarn game.
Yeah,
the art style of that looks really good, but it's to me it looked more like a Yoshi's Island type game than a Kirby game. I don't know.
Tough to say. I mean, just again, because they were only showing like little bits and pieces, but at least with the bits that they were showing looked like there was a two-player co-op, and the use of the yarn abilities or whatever to kind of stretch and move the world around, I thought was rather interesting.
Use of the yarn abilities. Did you ever think you'd say that about a game?
Yeah, no. I mean, but come on, at this point, right? Like, we talk about Paper Mario and the use of, like, paper abilities and all the kinds of different things.
But yarn?
Crazy-ass shit. Well, come on.
Hey, you know what? There's a Flash game out there where you knit things and you use yarn abilities. It's not unheard of.
There's a game out there called Cran Physics. I mean,
I guess. I don't know.
It's just a step removed from going to felt and yarn, right?
Right.
Cross-stitching ability.
Remember, backstitching will solidify this object. I revealed that I know way too much about cross-stitching.
It was supposed to be the other way around.
So let's move on to Sony. Obviously, their big push this year is Move, and I couldn't care less. I don't think I could care less about anything than I could about Move. Really,
I don't know. Like it, the Move is from what I used of it. It is a Wiimote for the PlayStation.
And I love the Wiimote so much. You know, that's the thing is everyone's like, oh, the Wii, you know, it introduced things to everybody, but it seemed kind of like a novelty after a while. Yeah. Like, you know, I can't play games for 8 hours straight if I'm even if I want to, because I just get so damn tired from swinging the remote around. So what is Sony's solution? To give you the exact same thing.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. You know, it's just like their 3D push. They're just boondoggles to account for the fact that they're not putting out new hardware.
Yeah. I will give them credit that the Move, like, yeah, it was, I think they only showed two games with it, right, Jason? It was just that sorcery game in Tiger Woods. So yeah, I mean, they didn't even really show, like, you know, their Wii Sports alternative or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. They kind of focused on some core games and said, you know, this is the Move. Then there was the whole price thing. That was, like, the most awkward silence, right?
Yeah.
They're like, here's the Move. It's $49.99. Everyone's like, yeah. And they're like, and then the attachment for it is $29.99. Everyone's like,
oh. And then you realize that they casually didn't mention the fact that you still need the PlayStation camera. Eye.
Yeah.
So that's another, what, $50?
Yeah. So I'm just saying, sunk in.
The full package, yeah, but the full package is still probably cheaper than what the Kinect is rumored to be going
not
for.
Not much, $20. Because the bundle they gave you, right, was $100, and you still need to buy that their nunchuck.
So, but yeah, you don't need to buy it. You can just buy it, but you know, anyways.
Yeah, you're gonna hold a DualShock 3 in one hand and the Move remote in the other.
Hell yeah, I am. I'm gonna wield my DualShock like a ninja star.
He's gonna throw that shit in his drywall.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I really don't like that they pushed on that in 3D, because, you know, don't get me to wear glasses to play your game. That crap gives me a migraine.
Yeah, it's.
Oh.
You know, and everything I've heard is that.
If you'd been there, Mike, you probably would have been throwing up in the aisle just from the. There was just something not quite right about it.
Yeah, and everyone kind of said it afterwards.
You can never make a 3D solution that works for everybody, yet here they are saying the next big thing is 3D. You're going to alienate people from buying your crap.
Yeah.
But they did have, they did come back and talk about some other stuff that's a little more interesting, not least of which is the fact that they actually set a release date for Gran Turismo 5.
Yeah, yeah.
If that date does not move at least once before it comes out, I will be surprised. Yeah, they said what, November 12th?
Something like that, yeah.
So I'm predicting it'll be like November 20th because they asked for another week to polish. You know, they've had what, 5 years? That was announced at E3 05, right?
Since they announced the PlayStation 3, they announced that game. So it's been since then.
Yeah.
November 2nd, 2010, that's the date.
So in an extreme moment of Waja, they brought Gabe Newell out to talk about how Portal 2 is going to come out to PS3.
In my opinion, that was the announcement of E3.
Yeah.
It's seriously, that was huge, the fact that they're going to have the interoperability between Steam on the PC and the PlayStation 3.
Well, it's Steam Cloud. Don't mix it up. It is part of Steam.
The fact is, like, if you buy Portal on the PC, you own it on the PlayStation. You can get it on the PlayStation 3 as well. And your save in progress will carry over between the two.
Yeah.
It's Steam Cloud, and was it Steam Play, right? That's what it's on the Mac now, Steam Play?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what I would love for them to do is actually just put Steam on it wholesale so I can buy games from Valve.
Yeah.
Speaking
of wholesale and Valve, though, yeah.
But it is kind of funny because Gabe Newell pretty much has spent the last few years just talking all sorts of smack about the PS3. And they wheel him out on stage, and he looks about as awkward as I've ever seen anyone look.
Well, Jason, what did you say to me? Well, when he came out, Jason turned, he was like, what is he doing here?
Yeah, yeah.
I just, like, that's how he said it. I'm like, apparently to talk about Portal 2 and how it's coming to PlayStation 3. But what is he doing here?
I think they probably had his wife and children chained up backstage.
Kevin Butler had them backstage, that's right.
Well, he had a pretty good line, too. He was like, He was like, I was kind of nervous when Kevin Butler introduced himself as VP of sharpening things.
So, yeah. And speaking of Kevin Butler, he made his rumored appearance. And, yes. And as far as I could tell, did a pretty good job.
He has some pretty amazing stage presence.
Yeah, those commercials are, you know, it took me a while to warm up to them, but now I look forward to the new ones. Yeah. They've really got something going there.
And his speech, too. I mean, it was kind of hokey and stuff, but, you know, his delivery and everything, it was entertaining for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. There's more details about Little Big Planet 2 there. I don't know. The first one was cool looking, but this one seems, you know, I hope the game making tools with it are really strong as they say they are, because they said what? You know, the entire game was built with the game's level editor or something.
Yeah.
So
we might end up having a case of it's just too much now, so there's not going to be like any focus.
Yeah.
And we might just get a whole lot of random everything and not a lot of great stuff.
I guess we'll see. You know, they talked about Killzone 3 and how it's going to be in 3D. And there are jetpacks, which, you know, cool. Jetpacks, just give me tribes. Stop saying your game is cool because it has jetpacks in it.
I just want to know how they're going to recover from the facepalm ending of the second one.
It better open with a recap of the facepalm. Because seriously, the only good thing about Killzone 2, besides the fact that it looked really nice, was the fact that you play this entire like eight-hour campaign with this absolute douche next to you. And he's like, you're like, oh, we probably shouldn't do this. He's like, oh, well, I think we should. And he shoots people, you know, just shoots people left and right. And, you know, you get to the end, and I'm sorry for spoiling it, but you get to the end of the game, you find the Emperor of the Helgen, or whatever the hell they're called, and, you know, he gives you this big speech about how, oh, if you kill him, you know, you're only going to set this, like, chain reaction in place, and your orders are to capture him anyway, and this douche lord just says, you know what, fuck you, and he shoots him in the gut, and, you, like, your main character is like... WTF, mate. And he walks outside, he sits down on the steps of the Capitol building, and he puts his face into his palm. It's like, this is... Who thinks that this was good writing? I mean, I get the fact that it's a Dutch game, so you gotta, you know, take it as it is, but, man, come on, guys. Let's move on. Let's talk about Cirque du Soleil and your shoulder pads and how much Kinect is a Trojan horse for bullshit in your home.
Space poncho.
Space poncho.
Were there any pigs in space jokes made?
No. Everyone is just kind of like, you couldn't even sit next to each other. Like, everyone kind of had like shimmy like on 45 degree angles, and it was like, you know, Lego blocks locked in there together, shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
Nobody knew that we were going to light up or anything. Everyone thought we were going to get wet. Like, everyone was like, okay, they're going to spray us with water or something.
They're going to make you put on 3D glasses and bring Gallagher out there?
They're going to make us drink some Kool-Aid. That's what they were afraid of.
Yeah, the Jonestown.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they showed off Kinect at the Cirque du Soleil event, and confused everyone, and then they showed it off during their press conference and
confused everyone
because part of it, I admit, the parts where it's like you can interact with the NXE with it, you say Xbox blah 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 and it does something, it's pretty Star Trek, and there were some cool things about it, but it, you know, I need some kind of tactile feedback when I'm playing a game.
Yeah.
And as cool as Child of Eden looked, I'm definitely going to play that with a controller.
Yeah, there's only two games that I saw that I thought Kinect looked good for, and that was the one from Ubisoft, the exercise one. It had, you know, it had different like training things, like there was like a Tai Chi training thing and a couple others, as well as a bunch of exercises and stuff. And it kind of makes sense because, yeah, you're doing that already. Now you're just getting the feedback from, you know, how well you're doing, and it's tracking it, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And the other one was the dance party, or was it dance?
Dance Central.
Dance Central from Harmonix. Mike, you've been to, you know, New Year's parties and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that at those parties would just be, you know, amazing.
I think we're going to keep Coop's lady friend's camera away from those. Because
it's his fiance, not his lady friend now.
Well, that is true. That is very true. And by the time Kinect comes out, I think they might be more than that. But
yeah, they will be.
But still, it's just like I said, some of the stuff looked really cool. Like the honestly, I thought the ESPN thing was kind of neat. ESPN on demand would be really great because, you know, I watch a lot of my college football through ESPN 360, and it seems to be that type of content that they're putting through.
Yeah.
I thought the little widgets and stuff at the bottom were cool, but I don't see myself playing any games on this thing yet. It looks entirely like a software platform to me. It's like, here is cool software that you can, you know, interact with. It, you know, nothing to me looked like a compelling game. Maybe Joyride for a party game or whatever, but I don't know. I don't like where it's going because I don't think this speaks to people who, you know, own an Xbox or people who want one.
Yeah. Well, what was the, there was a survey that came out after E3, basically judging intent to buy for PlayStation Move and Kinect, and it was something like 10-15%. Which I guess is like obscenely low.
Oh yeah.
So I
bet the 3DS was probably a much higher.
Yeah, I think that was something like 80 or 85%.
Yeah.
So,
you know, if you debut your hardware and no one is interested in it, you have a long couple of years ahead of you. Because you know, if neither of these things takes off, Kinect and Move, what are they? You know, what are these guys going to do other than, you know, make a new console or constantly do a reshuffle of what you already have.
Yeah, well, I know with Kinect, the news came out this past week that they've already licensed the technology and stuff with certain TV manufacturers, basically build it into the TV. So not just you know, to use it for Xbox games, but to use with a TV for, like you just said, interacting with like your dashboard and, you know, whatever's on the TV and stuff like that. And they already kind of announced that it's coming to PC as well, or that it'll function on a PC, because they said that the camera functionality will work with Windows Live Messenger or whatever,
right,
you know, for like the head tracking and all that kind of stuff. So I think Microsoft has to do it, because from what I've heard, rumor-wise, it's like they've spent an obscene amount of money on R&D with this thing, and like to recoup the costs, it's going to take them quite a while, so...
That's the thing, is it's an impressive...
It's going to take them 1 year of Halo Reach sales, right?
Yeah.
It's an impressive bit of technology, to be sure, but I just don't know what I would do with it.
No, I agree. As a gaming platform, it's not interesting really in the slightest. Yeah. Like I said, with the exception of like those two things, and really, like that's like a diversion more so than like a reason to buy it.
Although it could be a really good platform for griefing at other people or like parents, like
there's a line to which I want my, you know, TV, PC, gaming devices tracking my movements. That's all I'm saying. I'm not comfortable yet with like it watching me as I step out of the shower and go and, you know, put on my clothes or something like that. It's like, I see you, Jason. You know, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. There's two things. Like, one, I think it'd be really great if the parental controls allow, you know, parents to say Xbox turn off, and just, you know, when their kids have to, you know, stop playing and eat dinner and do their homework, I think that would be great. The other thing is, you said they're licensing it for televisions, but oddly enough, I think some of the either the new Bravias or some of the upcoming ones actually use a camera to determine whether someone is actually watching the TV.
Huh.
So, it, you know, if you are watching it and you leave the room, it might dim the screen the second it sees that no one's watching.
To, like, conserve power and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
You know, there is application for the technology, and I do appreciate that. But enough about Kinect. Let's talk about space dogfighting and Firefight 2.0 in Halo Reach.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, let's talk about Gears of War 3.
That's all Nick. Go, Nick, go.
No, yeah, so, everyone probably saw the playthrough that they released, because it wasn't a live play session for Reach. It was just a trailer, basically.
With lots of metal.
Well, it's kind of like this metal techno, and I saw an article this week that is the music for the game, that Marty O'Donnell's kind of trying to change things up a little bit. Still keep, the Halo themes and stuff in there.
I bet you anything, there is a piano track somewhere in there.
Yeah, he's going to probably do what he kind of did with ODST. To try, ODST kind of had this like lighter jazzy feel to it. So maybe Reach is going to be more of this grungy techno metal kind of a thing.
Yeah, just a bunch of Spartans going F yeah over and over.
So I got to play Firefight 2.0 a couple times at an event, and they've done some cool stuff with it. I think the fact that like you'll be able to customize your character in it and like earn perks and upgrades and things like that, as well as basically make custom firefight modes.
I was particularly intrigued by creating your own skulls.
Yeah. So they're really all about like the community features outside of the versus modes now, this time with Reach. So it'll be pretty interesting to see. I really like the DMR. I think it's the new battle rifle ISK gun.
Yeah,
it's amazing for taking out like the jackals, the guys with the shields. Like you can just see the top of their heads now, and like one shot from it.
I did like that in the multiplayer beta, so yeah.
Like it's tough in the multiplayer beta to get a real judge of like how the guns behave, but in Firefight, you know, using it against the enemies, you get a better feel for it. The enemies are a lot tougher. There's a grunt now. One of the grunts that's like a lot faster. He can kind of like almost sprint. So like, you know how usually they'll run away and stuff. Well, this guy he can run around and flank you a lot of times and stuff. There's like fully armored elites and jackals now too. You know, kind of how we had the brute chieftain.
Yeah.
Well, there's basically like jackal chieftains and elite chieftains too. So.
I have to say, as much as I love the Halo games, it's kind of weird to see like the prequel have more advanced stuff than the original.
Yeah, it's
like Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Everything in the prequel games the prequel movies looked a lot cooler, or better anyway, than what existed.
But the one final thing with that is the one new firefight mode that they have in the box, where you have like three generators you have to protect. It's basically the same mode that was in the multiplayer beta.
Right.
But it's with, against AI at this point. It's a lot of fun because it forces people to move and have to cover different areas and stuff. You know how, like, a lot of times in Firefight, we would find a spot and kind of hole up and be like, okay, this is where we're going to hold ground and do our thing. Like, you can't do that in it, so it makes it pretty fun.
Cool. Well, let's talk Gears of War 3 real quick.
Your reference about it being like a prequel just made me think, man, how awesome would it be if the game ended with like Master Chief being born, and it just cuts to him going, no!
Yeah. Oh. Master Chief was involved in the events of Reach, but he's not in the game. You should totally read the novels.
It's the secret ending that you get for playing it on Legendary.
the Cortana Master Chief sex scene at the end of Halo 3 when you beat it on Legendary was pretty awesome. They should do that type of thing again. Gears of War 3. Gears go sleeveless.
Yeah.
And
it's the summer. It's hot.
You know, it's been pointed out before, but I will repeat it, that Cliffy B must be the only man in the games industry who could pitch a game entirely on, you could play as a chick this time. You could call that a feature on the back of the box. It looks like more Gears, and Beast Mode is pretty cool.
I think there's two things I noticed for co-op was, one, you can switch weapons with your co-op partner on the fly, as well as give them ammo now, which is nice.
Yeah.
So that'll be good in the campaign.
And four-player co-op.
Yeah, four-player co-op in the campaign is huge. This game, I think it's pretty amazing when you think about it, that the game's going to have three separate co-op modes. You know, you're going to have a co-op campaign, you're going to have Horde mode, and you're going to have Beast mode. And so they got a lot of loving for co-op out of the box with Gears of War 3. Beast Mode is a lot of fun.
It looked fun.
It's kind of more strategy oriented, and like you have to communicate with your team because you're every round you're earning points and you have to buy the next beast you want. So you don't want like everybody to buy like the Rezzer, which is the Canis, because then it's kind of silly. The Canis isn't very he's not very strong. He can get taken down. He can't go into cover. But you do want to have one guy that's a Canis and be able to res your guys from far away.
You know what it looked like to me, at least from the videos? It reminded me an awful lot of Left 4 Dead Versus.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a lot like Left 4 Dead Versus.
Which is not a bad thing, because Left 4 Dead Versus is great.
The being the tickers, because the tickers cost like 5 points, whatever they call it, the thing. It's just so much fun just to charge into a whole group of the COG guys, or they have like militia guys too. They have basically cannon fodder guys that are fighting in it too.
Yeah,
just just basically charging into the whole group and exploding is very satisfying. So, looking forward to that. I think, like I said, the fact that there's 3 huge co-op modes out of the box in that. It's
definitely going to be a treat for co-op players, and hopefully chainsaw dueling is a little more forgiving in the campaign this time, because that infuriated me. Because I have a little bit of, I guess carpal tunnel in my button mashing hand, so I was unable a lot of the time to button mash fast enough to win a chainsaw duel, and there was that boss that I could not. Yeah. I literally could not beat because I couldn't button mash fast enough. Almost made me put that game down. And they talked about Crackdown 2, but we already covered the demo. And they gave Nick an Xbox. So how's that treating you?
Oh, I didn't get it yet. It didn't come. And we're gonna give it away on the site. So.
Yeah, they made the oft rumored Xbox 360 Slim, and. For whatever reason, they ignored everyone's complaints about the PS3 and made it glossy piano black, so it'll be a dust and fingerprint magnet. But it's quiet. It looks an awful lot like the original Xbox. Look at how the original Xbox looks with like the slats in the sides and everything, and look at this one. And
Yeah, they went back to have that sort of an X, look to it.
Yeah, it's an angular inhale this time.
Yeah.
But and it is programmed at the start to not red ring when it fails. It just does something else.
Actually, it's kind of interesting that they did this, and you're wondering why most other consoles and hardware doesn't do stuff like this. I mean, PCs have had it for a while, basically temperature warning and auto shutdown if it gets too hot.
Yeah.
That's all it is, right? Wonder why others haven't done that. Why they didn't do something like that sooner. It's not like it's that complicated of a feature.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But let's move on, because there were a lot of other games that were talked about at E3 or revealed. And let's just go down this list. There was Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Which doesn't have co-op.
Yeah,
I think there's been some confusion. It sounds like it should have co-op. It looks like it should have co-op, but it's the only thing
I've heard people
versus.
Talk about it as if it did have co-op.
Yeah, everyone nope. That I've talked to, there's no co-op.
Well, screw that.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed 2 was great, though.
Yeah, I think they're talking about co-op in terms of team-based multiplayer, unfortunately.
Okay, can we talk about Brink, then? Because
yes, we're both right, Mike.
We really are. Okay.
Yes, it's exactly like you said in the fact that at most there's only 8 versus 8, but it never feels like 8 versus 8 because just how the maps move and how you're constantly moving through the maps and how things are, guys are constantly respawning and stuff like that. There's a map for every mission in the game, and each. The guy said that there is some overlap between the campaigns in terms of maps, but that there are some unique maps for each campaign in the game. There are cutscenes between the missions and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it they do a very good job of masking that it's a round, not a round based kind of a thing, but it's a team versus thing. One interesting thing that they did say is that you can actually play through your campaign as 8 versus 8, you know, versus, if you wanted to. If you wanted to open it up completely and play through your campaign and have people take control of the other team, you can do that. Or you can just set it to be co-op and the people would only join your team.
Yeah, so, which I just want to jump onto because I know there's some people from the site who are like, is this multiplayer? Is this single player maps? And I know you already posted something in the comments, but just to add in too from my own view was that, yeah, this is like more Unreal Tournament than it is a single player or multiplayer or, you know, co-op campaign where you have random encounters and all this other kind of stuff. They've pretty much set up as team v team.
Because it seems to me, it seemed to me it was a lot like Unreal Tournament 3, right? Where you had co-op because there was a story mode, but all you were doing was playing multiplayer stuff.
It is, but like I said, the objectives and stuff are so different. Like, it's not like, you know, take the ball. It's not like capture the flag, right?
Right.
There's nothing like that at all. There's a series of, I mean, it's like Quake Wars, Enemy Territory Quake Wars, where you had to do things. Where it's like Bad Company 2, the multiplayer, where there's like certain things you have to do, but they're more involved than either of those games. You know, like whether you're hacking something or you're holding something open for another guy to go through to do something else. And the way that it generates the missions on the fly for everyone else is pretty unique. So like I said, like, it is exactly what you thought it was, but it does a really good job of masking it so you don't feel like you're playing that.
Yeah, but you said there's not capture the flag, so what you're telling me is this game is not going to come up with a ridiculous acronym that spells out as flag to justify doing this in a non-game setting?
At least, you know, the map that we played, the mission that we played, there was nothing like that. Like, it started out, we had to hack something to like bring down a gate and go through. Then we had to like retrieve some data, bring it to another place to send to another, like you're sending it to whoever. And, you know, it was not exactly the best place to hear what was going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so like while I might have been doing the one thing, the guy that was playing with me, who was a producer in the game, like his mission might have been like, you know, bring a sentry gun to protect him here, or you know, stuff like that. So I really liked it. It was a little different than I thought it would be, but I thought it was a lot of fun. And I the smart system with the gunplay is pretty satisfying.
I never said it didn't look fun. I just took issue with how it might have been presented at the beginning. So let's get off Brink, because we could probably talk about it for a while. But they announced during the Sony press conference, I believe, that Dead Space Extraction would be coming to PlayStation Network with Move support.
Exclusive for a limited edition or a special edition, yeah.
I thought that you were going to actually be able to get it on PSN and it would be with the special edition of the game for free.
It might be. That might be what it is. It wouldn't surprise me.
But I really love me some Dead Space, and I wanted to play Extraction for a while, but I don't have a second Wiimote, so I would want to play it in co-op. And, well, I probably won't be buying Move, so the PSN version might be useless to me, too. However, that's still pretty cool. And it's as a pack-in bonus for the special edition, it doesn't get much better. You know, a full retail game that is only a year old.
Yeah, I will say that, you know, just to real quickly touching on that, like Sony's press conference, like Sony's press conference was really long, but it was packed with games. Like, it was just game announcement after game announcement after content announcement. So it was kind of a, you know, a nice thing. It's not like, and it was mostly all geared towards like us, you know, the hardcore gamer. It wasn't a lot of freaking,
yeah, you know,
around popping bubbles and shit like that.
You know, Sony is definitely, you know, trying to win back the core gamer. And I like that because I like being catered to. I don't like it when you try and sell games to my grandma. Yep. And that seems to be what, you know, Microsoft was trying to do this year.
But you love your Yaya.
I do, but I don't think she's a gamer.
No, she's not.
Well,
game.
Yeah. There was Dead Rising 2 was there. Jason, did you play it?
Yeah, I got a chance to play it. It's, I actually played also Case Zero, which is not co-op, unfortunately, but
that's the Xbox Live version?
Yeah, it's like the Xbox Live prequel, so it's a lot more about, you know, running out and doing little missions and stuff like that. The game itself, I mean, it plays, I think, pretty much like you expect it to. It was pretty cool. In the demo that I played, I took a vacuum cleaner and some saw blades and fused them together to get this, like, little automated grinder thing that was pretty cool, because, like, the heavy attack was you jab it into a zombie, you lift it up, and he just gets shredded by all those saw blades. So there's a lot of cool weapons and stuff like that you can make in it. I mean, it's got this...
I got to interrupt you. Did you make a Freedom Bear?
I did not.
Did you make a drill bucket?
No, I made an electric rake.
That's pretty awesome. out of all the stuff they've revealed for weapon combos in that game, the one that intrigues me the most is the Freedom Bear.
Yeah. I think I saw the combination for it, because the nice thing is, too, like, you get cards whenever you get the little combination, so you can always go back and see what they are. So I think there was a card for it, but then, like, the pieces that they had around, there weren't any around for me to make that with. But it was fun. It's going to be a lot more fun playing in it co-op, I think. And I know there's questions, people saying, like, well, why isn't campaign progress saved or whatever? Well, it's like the first one. Your progress is, you know, incremental and based on the clock, and they've fixed the save system in terms of there being more saves. But if I remember correctly, it's still going to be a case of, you know, you can go through and you play it, and then you start over again with whatever you had in order to do better the second time
around. It's what happens when you let the Breath of Fire Dragon Quarter developers make an action game.
Yeah, and I mean, along those lines, you really can't save campaign progress across two players. The fact that they let you keep the experience and things of that nature for the second player is good. I mean, that's certainly an improvement. But,
and that's the kind of game I would want to just have a buddy drop in and play anyway. It doesn't, you know...
Yeah.
You know, I would care if there was a lot more persistence, but, you know, with the wacky save system and everything. Let's see.
It was fun.
There was the Xbox Live Castlevania Harmony of Despair, which is multiplayer co-op Castlevania.
Yeah, it looks pretty interesting.
Made by Igarashi.
I didn't get to play it, but I was watching some people play it. I guess I found out after the show it uses all the assets from, like, the other 2D Castlevania games for it.
And you know what? I will take recycled assets from the 2D Castlevanias over this Lords of Shadow nonsense any day of the week.
I think, was it you just in the 3D you heard it was really good?
Lord of Shadows?
Yeah.
I've heard some good things about the 3D1 was good. Yeah. About both.
I know, but it's like, I don't buy, you know, Robert Carlyle as a whip-swinging Castlevania hero.
Yeah, but what about Patrick Stewart? Do you buy Patrick Stewart?
Yeah, but he's not the guy you play as. See, you know who Robert Carlyle is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, man. it's like casting Alan Tudyk as that character. Sure, it's cool on a level, but you don't need that person to be that character. Anyway.
We'll see.
I look forward to it. Did either of you get to play Hunted Demon's Forge?
We both did.
Yes, we both did. At the same time.
Hey, that's pretty hot. Which one of you was the chick?
We switched, actually.
Huh. Yeah.
Still hot, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Even hotter.
I think it was better than we both expected. Wouldn't you say so, Jason? Like, I think we had our expectations kind of low or something, but it was pretty fun.
Yeah, no, definitely, and so in the write-up they did, it was, there's still some things that I think for them to work on in terms of the combat system and things to clean up, but there's a lot of time for them to do that, because I think it's now been pushed to, like, the first quarter of 2011, and the basics are there, though, for a really fun co-op game. I mean,
you know what else is probably pushed to the first quarter of 2011, Jason? Our interview questions that they stole us from.
Oh, snap. You've done been called out.
Who is that?
Tracy Thompson from Bethesda. We love you, Tracy. Please send us our questions back.
Yeah. Please do, Tracy. You were really nice, but we just need those questions. But yeah, no, it's. I think they've got all the good fundamentals there for a fun co-op game. I really wish the one thing that we didn't get to see that I wish they had was a like puzzle, an actual puzzle for us to try out.
Yeah.
But I could see from some of the abilities that they showed how they could work some of these, because between the sort of levitation thing that Kadok can do and Alara's bow abilities, there's definitely going to be some interesting things that they'll have with that. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the combat was pretty satisfying. I think that was what worried me the most with it. But, you know, how they play off each other's abilities was pretty cool. And like that one section where, I guess it was kind of a puzzle, maybe not really, where I had to like pick the, there was like those towers I had to shoot down while you were holding off the guys, the skeletons that were trying to attack me when I was like on that turret or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was pretty fun. But definitely, yeah, glad it's... there was a, you know, a lot of titles that were, we're coming out spring 2011. So I think we're going to have another crowded spring next year.
Spring is the new fall.
Yeah, no, it really was. It was kind of surprising. You know, that's always like the final question when you go to these demos and stuff. You ask someone like, oh, when's it out? It's spring 2011. It was like, that was a standard answer, so...
You know, I'm willing to bet that spring comes the time for the unproven franchises that are still AAA presentation. Because, yeah. You know, you'll get a lot of the, you know, you'll get a lot of the surefire stuff coming out in the fall. Your Call of Duties and whatnot,
yeah.
Your Halos. But, you know, things like this that look really cool and could, you know, compete with them, you know, from a presentation and gameplay standpoint, but they don't have a name. You know, like this year, you know... You know, this week we had Bayonetta and Darksiders come like right at the first of the year, yeah. And both those games are really damn good, and they could have sold. They probably could have sold a lot better if they were out in the fall. But I'm definitely thinking that next spring we're gonna have, you know, like you said, a crowd. So they showed Dungeon Siege 3.
Yes.
Was there any trace of Jason Statham in it?
I should have asked that question. I should have asked that question.
I need to know about the future exploits of the man called Farmer.
Oh God.
Jason and I watched that movie.
Oh, I saw it too. Unfortunately.
Luckily it wasn't in a theater and we did have alcohol handy.
No, you're right. I should have asked that question. No, it looks. I mean, I was, my jaw kind of almost dropped when I saw it. And this is like a pre-alpha build of the game. It looks really, really nice. It looks like a action RPG game on a console, and it looks like it actually works on a console, which is probably the more amazing sort of aspect of that. Because a lot of times those don't translate very well from PC to console. So, I don't know. Yeah, I'm eager to hear more because the most that I got to see was just kind of them walking through a couple of fights. The drop in, drop out was pretty neat, pretty nice to see though. In terms of local drop in, drop out, they weren't saying how they're handling online or anything like that. They're pretty mum about all that stuff. So we'll see what happens.
I was actually a really big fan of Dungeon Siege 2. The first one I could take or leave.
I know, I bought that game because of you.
Yeah, the second one was really, I felt it did some weird things. Like, it came out in the era of widescreen gaming, yet it didn't have any widescreen modes. So it was kind of plain that it had a little bit of a budget issue. or it had been in development so long that they hadn't bothered to update it. But, you know, the core of that game is really fun. And I really hoped that a sequel would come out because, you know, it was such a market improvement over the first game in my eyes that, you know, it would be bad if they couldn't iterate again. But speaking of action RPGs on consoles, did you guys get to see Lord of the Rings War in the North?
No, we were supposed to. We had an appointment, but the Warner Brothers booth was probably the most chaotic and, like, disorganized booth there was. And I think about after 10 minutes of us standing around, I was like, let's just go.
Excellent.
So we saw Batman Brave and the Bold instead.
Ah.
Yeah, which was actually pretty good. Yeah, I was pretty impressed with it. It's like a, you know, it's like a traditional beat 'em up game, but you have the Batman gadgets and stuff you can use too. It's got drop in, drop out co-op, and it's one of those things where, you know, we were saying how the Wii show's kind of showing its age, but because it was all like 2D hand drawn stuff, it looked pretty smooth.
Yeah,
it had some pretty slick looking like animated like transitions and stuff when you did like your superpower. And
like I said, if you want to see one of the best looking games of this generation, check out Muramasa on the Wii. It's amazing what good 2D can do.
Yeah.
Let's see. They announced that there would be a sequel to Trine. I don't think they really showed anything though.
Yeah, they had nothing there for it.
So Trine 2, hopefully it will still have co-op, and the co-op will be a little better.
Yeah, well, they did say online and local co-op,
Yeah. Let's see. You guys checked out a game called The First Templar, which I know nothing about.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of European-developed action RPG-esque kind of a things. The only thing I took away from it, it's still really early, but the one thing I took away from it in terms of co-op is it does some neat stuff where it kind of takes a play from old beat-em-ups where, like, player one or player two, whatever, I forget which character it is, you can actually hold one of the bad guys and then the other player can attack them while you're holding them,
nice,
kind of a thing. So that was pretty cool. You don't see that much anymore. It's supposedly based on a real story or real history or something like that. It kind of had this Assassin's Creed vibe to it, but...
But looks like Golden Axe.
Yeah, it's a little more down to earth. It actually runs on the Tropico 3 engine.
Weird.
It's the same team that made Tropico 3. Like I said, it's a ways off. I think they said they were targeting spring 2011, but...
Can your Templar take on the womanizer trait?
I don't know.
Because that was in Tropico 3. Let's see. Well, here's a big one. Rock Band 3, or as I like to call it, Guitar Hero.
No, you might as well just call it, like, Music Studio.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
Pro Mode is kind of a big turnoff for me, I have to be honest.
The thing, it's like, I don't know how they can top what they're doing now. Except adding more instruments. It's so polished, everything from like what you can do with the instruments to the interface. Like, they spent a ton of time making sure, like, when everybody's at a party, you know, and everyone's playing together, like, some dude that's wailing on the drums while you're trying to pick a song can't screw everybody else up, right? Everyone's in their own little shell kind of a thing and can do whatever they want in their little shell. They can drop into any song at any time, change the difficulty, change the instrument, while the game is going. Like, it's really amazing, and it's really slick. So there's that whole side of it. There's a side with, like, you know, because there's going to be 2,000 songs available if you count all the DLC and all the previous Rock Bands.
It's just insane.
So they have, like, some crazy filtering options you can do. You can create playlists and save them and upload them to, you know, the community servers and stuff for other people to try. And then, like you said, there's the instruments, and probably the most impressive one is the new Fender guitar that uses, like, optical sensors to determine where your fingers are. So it's actually a real guitar, and it does have a connection on it to plug it into an amp. So the guy basically plugged it into an amp, was playing the guitar in pro mode in the game, and what he was playing was coming out of the amp, you know, with the real music. So it was really impressive.
At what point does this stop being a game?
Well, I think it's both, and that's the thing. They've tackled both audiences. They've tackled those people that be like, I want to play real guitar, or I want to play real drums, and, you know, they've got those people. They still have the party modes. They still have all the difficulties and all that kind of stuff.
So do you think those other guys with the Rise of the Rock God or whatever the hell? I can't even remember the title. It's so forgettable. But those guys have got to be crapping themselves.
It's not even, they're not even the same genre in my opinion.
Harmonix just clowned them. Seriously.
Yeah.
Rock Band 3 does everything they said their game would do and more.
Yeah, it's really impressive what Harmonix has done with this. And like I said, the problem is they kind of painted themselves in their corner now. I don't know how they top it.
Trombone Hero. they need to buy Jam Party. They need to buy that company, buy that, you know, thing, and integrate and start going in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, actually, do like full music studio, lay multiple track kind of a thing down.
That's the only thing really next for them, I would say, is actually, you know, start making your own songs and putting them together.
No, what it needs to be is Rock Band 4 needs to come up with a copy of Pro Tools.
Yeah. So speaking of what you were just saying with Jam Party, which you had checked out, another game I checked out was Rapstar.
Def Jam Rapstar. I hear it uses radio edits.
I would not go with Nick to that. I was like, no, sir.
Well, you're not down with OPP like we are.
Yeah. So Rob went with me, and he had a rap battle with one of the producers there, which was pretty funny. But they have a freestyle mode, and it comes with a couple of beats out of the box you can use, and then you can freestyle and record yourself. And you can actually, it has it, you can do multiple tracks. So you can record, you know, multiple tracks of your song and lay it on top of each other and edit and apply effects and stuff like that. And then you can upload it to this community website and stuff, and other people can check it out and they can vote on it. And they said that they'll actually have producers from Def Jam and stuff looking at the stuff, and they might be looking to sign people and things like that.
That sounds like grade A BS to me.
What's that? That they'll actually have the people looking at it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. It could
Do you
be
know how
pitch.
Much crap they'd have to wade through?
Well, no, they don't, because they'll count on the community to vote up the really good stuff, and that's the stuff that they'll look at.
I guess. So, still, I'm extremely skeptical that it's anything but a marketing scam.
But, yeah, the game actually looks pretty cool. And like, you know, it's different. Rapping's different because it's not so much your tone or your pitch. It's, you know, your beat and the words you actually speak. So they actually have, like, a thing that determines the words you're saying and if you hit the mark or not. And after you finish a song, you can pull up basically the lyric sheet and you can see which words the game said you missed and stuff and kind of...
I wonder if this one will be susceptible to the old Rock Band trick of blowing into the mic.
Well, that's kind of what I said to him. I was like, well, you know, that's what Rock Band did. And he's like, well, they didn't really even do any kind of phonetic checking. They actually had they licensed something and it wasn't fast enough to detect it on the fly, like to do it. So they had to have some people come in and basically write their own for this game. So they actually put a pretty big investment into this. Into the title.
But I just wonder, you know, I've heard that they're using radio edits of these songs, and anyone who's, like, a really big fan of this, you know, the songs in this are going to know, they're gonna say what is, you know, intended to be there. And the game, from what I can tell, is it'll actually, you know, it'll actually say, oh, you said something when you shouldn't have, so I'm
No, it doesn't, actually. The preview I wrote up, because I had asked the same thing, because... Rob had the rap battle with the guy, and they were doing Ice Cube's Today Was a Good Day. And, you know, so the few parts in the song where there are the swear words, Rob sung it the correct way, and it doesn't penalize you on those words. It knows. What they did say was they did it because they wanted to try and get this out to as big an audience as they could.
Yeah, they want the T rating.
Right. But they said that after it launches, any of the DLC... they aren't tied to the ESRB in terms of what they release, and all those will most likely be the original versions of the songs.
Yeah.
So,
just a trick to get you to buy the original versions of the song that are already in the game as DLC with swear words.
Yeah, sure.
let's see. After a while, since the last one, there's a new Time Crisis. Yay.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything at E3 about it. I think they just announced it.
I think we can make a few reasonable assumptions as to what that game entails.
Shooting things?
Shooting things and ducking behind cover with a, you know, some kind of button press or foot pedal.
Yeah.
Ducking behind your couch in your own house, yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, the Natal version, Kinect version, can tell if you're hiding behind something.
And you're just going to put your hands together as a gun and start shooting? Is that it?
That would actually be kind of awesome.
Pew, 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 pew.
I would buy Kinect if they did that.
Couch.
Let's see. And an unlikely sequel. There's a direct sequel to Contra Hardcore for the Genesis called Hardcore Uprising. And it's 2D and HD and hand-drawn. And it looks awesome.
Yeah, it's great. and I got to play with like the producer of the game, and I had no idea I was playing with it. Playing with him.
Doesn't he like laughing at you too?
Yeah, he was like, yeah, he was. I mean, really hard to understand Japanese guy. Really nice, and he was trying to tell me how to play, like what certain buttons were doing, and I just kind of, you know, smiled and nodded and
oh,
stuff.
God.
And you know, he was laughing because I was sucking horribly. But yeah, it's gorgeous. Like just. Like, there's a scene where there's a boss that comes down from the top, and he's drilling into the sand, and it's, like, the sand's, like, pouring in from the side and going down into this, like, pit and stuff. And you're looking at it, and you're like, man, that is all hand-drawn, and it's just, it's fun. I think it'll be a solid co-op game. Hopefully, games like that, though, like, when you play online co-op in it, the timing is really important. So, you know, there can be, like, zero lag.
What, like when we played, Gunstar Heroes together, Nick?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. And last but not least, at least on the list I've provided, is Valkyria Chronicles 2, which I really want.
I don't think any of us... I think it was mentioned at the Sony conference, but I didn't see it anywhere.
They had a trailer for it at the Sega booth, but I didn't actually see it on the show floor.
That's
yeah,
too bad.
I definitely would have played it if it had been there.
I know.
I looked through the PSP stuff at the Sony booth, and it was mostly first-party stuff they had. So it wasn't like like if you went to the Microsoft booth, like they had a huge amount of third-party titles there, especially with like the Xbox Live stuff. You know, all the big third-party games were there, like the Castlevania game, Comic Jumper from Twisted Pixel, and a bunch of other stuff. So. That was one of the differences between, you know, the Sony booth and the Nintendo booth and Microsoft's. It's like, you can just see that contrast.
Yeah.
So there's two things I want to run through real quick that's not on the list before we get to the wrap-up. One is League of Legends. I got a chance to go meet with the Riot Games guys. And they're still, you know, team v team sort of thing, but... talking with some of the guys afterwards, they did say that co-op is coming to that game. So, something for folks to look forward to. And I think we are actually going to get some more details about that in the next few months, so definitely take a look out for that. And the other thing is that this is not at all co-op, but speaking of games on the show floor, for Microsoft is Hydrophobia. I talked about that at PAX East, but between PAX East and now... they've definitely done a lot of polishing, and the game looks just absolutely amazing. So, a really great Xbox Live Arcade game to check out when it is released, which is later this summer, I think.
That's the one that's, like, entirely water physics, right?
Yeah, and it is amazing water physics, too. Like, when you actually just stop and watch it, you just kind of get lost in the whole thing for a little while.
Because I remember the last time I saw some footage from that game... the only thing I could think about, you know, the game looked okay, but I really wanted 2K to take that water physics model and put it back into BioShock.
Yeah. Now, I am so hopeful that the game does well enough that the engine, basically, that's based off of starts selling some more games because it does a really, really great job. And it's realistic enough that if you just sit there and then the rocking of the ship, you just watch as the water just moves and rocks with the ship, and so sections of the flooring become, you know, dry again essentially because the water's moved away from it, and it's not at all pre-generated graphics effects, anything like that. Like, it's real, sort of going through it real time. So, yeah, we'll see.
Cool. Let's,
hold on, there's a couple of things we still miss I wanted to talk about quick.
Oh, well, you should have added them to our list, Nick.
Sorry, I had no time.
You had a week and a half.
I know. No excuses. Rock of the Dead, got to play that in co-op, which is it was everything I hoped it would be. Yeah, if you play Typing of the Dead or you know House of the Dead, you kind of get an idea of what those games are. And Rock of the Dead is exactly the same thing. But one thing that kind of surprised me with it is it's actually pretty high... production values. They got Neil Patrick Harris to do some voices and Felicia Day. Rob Zombie's doing the soundtrack. He wrote some original songs for it, as well as redid like hard rock versions of classical music for it. And plus, it's supposed to be pretty long. It's like there's like 5 hours worth of gameplay in it.
Good
it's
God.
20, so there's like 27 missions with 8 sections in each mission or something. So plenty of stuff to play through on that. The game of the I don't want to say the game of the show, but the game that surprised me the most with how much fun looked was Fear 3.
Yeah.
Jason and I sat through a demo of that, and it was really impressive with how they did the co-op in that with the two characters. What they did with the demo was really cool, is they actually had two screens set up in the front of the room, and the one guy played Paxton Fennel, or whatever his name is, the other guy played Point Man. And you could see just how different they were. Like, the worlds looked the same, but they just had enough difference to them that you could tell, things were different. And, I played through most of Fear 2. I never finished it, but I want to go back and get through the story so I can enjoy Fear 3. It looks a lot of fun, really action-packed, really kind of creepy vibe. And
The ending of Fear 2 is something I'd rather not re-experience.
Well, that's what I've heard, and obviously it has
I know how it ends, yeah.
It has big repercussions to the story of Fear 3, and they had an Alma Booth Babe.
Oh, that was creepy.
And she was creepy. She just sat in a chair and rubbed her pregnant belly and, like, looked at people, like... It was like you looked at her, or like you didn't even have to look at her, and you'd get goosebumps, and you'd turn and you'd see her there, and she's just like rubbing her belly, and you're like, oh my god, we have to run.
whoever that was must have had a really good time scaring the crap out of people, because I've heard a lot of people say that she was really, really creepy.
Yeah, really creepy.
And I would have a hard time not just busting up laughing after freaking someone out or making them visibly uncomfortable with my presence.
And then I guess the last thing to talk about is something that both Jason and I, this is kind of one of those things at E3, you're like, what the heck? We were both excited to go to THQ and see Space Marine.
Oh, yeah.
That was what we made the appointment for, and we get there, and they're like, well, here's the trailer. And that was the extent of our Space Marine experience.
Well, we did get to see the... trailer. Shoot, I was about to say we didn't get to see. No, wait, it was just a trailer of the Warhammer 40K MMO. But we got to talk with the producer for a little bit, which was nice. And
yeah, I still got to write that up. Oh man,
he didn't really have much to say because everything we asked him, he was just like, "We're not talking about that yet." I was like, "Well,
it was like it is what you'd expect it to be." That was basically what he said. It's like, okay, like why even bother? So.
Yeah.
I think that's it of everything that we had seen.
Are you sure?
I don't know. I am still decompressing after my chaotic week.
The Blob too. We played that for a little bit.
Yeah, but the guy was like, "Oh, I can't talk about co-op."
Yeah,
can't talk about any multiplayer.
Okay. For the sake of our listeners, because we are pushing an hour and a half, I'm going to take our wrap up and shorten it to a give me your high point and your low point for E3, and the low point cannot be the shooting and the hookers, because that's kind of awesome. And that's, in no way would that ever be my low. Start with Nick.
The high point. Oh, geez. The high point is
favorite game, something that was cool that was announced that you liked. Obviously, being there wasn't the high point because you wouldn't be so
tired. Well, I guess it was kind of cool. This is at the Microsoft conference, just when they announced that everyone was getting the free Xbox 360, and like the way the audience reacted, the way the guy on the stage kind of reacted, and then how everyone's cell phone blew up with text messages of "I hate you," "I hope you die," Twitter replies. It was kind of funny. So that was, I won't say it's my high point, but it was one of my most memorable things that happened, just because it was, nobody expected it, and then just the reactions of everybody that we talked to.
It was the Oprah moment.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone gets a free Xbox.
And you get an Xbox, and you get an Xbox.
You don't get an Xbox, though.
Oh. Oh.
In terms of low point... I don't know. I think it was the show on a whole was kind of disappointing, and it was a little too crowded. I felt it was a little too much running around, like trying to navigate between people. The booths, some of the booths were just really poorly designed. EA's booth and Warner Brothers, especially. EA's, like, okay, so you have this big open show floor. Let's enclose it in a little box and then shove everybody in it with one entrance.
I did hear Paul Barnett had an amazing jacket at the EA booth, though.
I don't even know. I basically was in it for 5 minutes and I couldn't breathe and I left.
Aww.
It was just... And then Warner Brothers, like, Warner Brothers decided to put every little statue and standee they could in it with all the people. And so everyone was trying to get pictures with, you know, Lego Harry Potter and the giant figure from Lord of the Rings and this and that. So it was just, I don't know, too many people, a lot of running around. Biggest surprise was probably the Activision thing. And, like... we went to it thinking it was going to be a press conference with just a few performances, and it ended up just being like a 2.5-hour concert with like 3 game trailers.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was not that I cared for most of the performers anyway, but it was kind of cool seeing them. The 50-foot stripper pole was interesting. And I gotta say, Scott's reactions to that made it all worthwhile.
Did he produce a ghetto roll of ones out of nowhere?
No. His reactions were, "Oh God, just get down! No, I can't watch. No, get down! Please get down!" That was Scott the whole time.
That's excellent.
So,
Jason,
favorite thing. In terms of games, I gotta say, Fear, like I said, Nick said, Fear 3 really surprised me. I think that was the most surprising co-op game I saw there, and was not went into it with pretty low expectations, and came out of it pretty impressed.
I heard John Carpenter surprised you too.
Yeah, I was gonna say my worst moment, my most embarrassing moment is like a self embarrassment moment. So like at 2 o'clock, the second or third day there, I guess it was the second day. Nick and I are running around the Warner Brothers booth, and we just got done seeing the Fear 3 thing. We're like, that's awesome. And then we're like, Nick's like, okay, I want to go try and see War of the North or whatever. And I was like, all right. So I see, you know, two gentlemen sitting at a stand where Alma was the day before, and they're signing posters. And you said you wanted something from the show, Mike. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll go get Mike a poster. I go up and I shake the first guy's hand, and just, you know, he's one of the lead artists. And I say, hey, the game looks really, really great. And I was telling him about it, and da-da-da-da. Get to the second guy, it's just like, my mind is this old guy, shake his hand, say, very nice to meet you, thanks so much, and walk off. At 4:15, I check my Twitter account, and someone had said, hey, John Carpenter's signing stuff over in the Warner Brothers booth. And like, I'm sitting there, and I look at the tweet, and I look at the poster, I look back at the tweet, and I just go,
oh,
yeah. Not quite that. Yeah. So
yes, that was really awesome. It's like, the only way it could have been worse is if you went up to him and talked some shit about Ghost of Mars. Be like, John Carpenter, I love you to death. Big Trouble in Little China is an amazing movie. But goddamn, Ghost of Mars, what are you thinking?
You know what? He probably would have been like, yeah, I don't know either.
Probably.
My most embarrassing.
So I wasn't there, so I don't have anecdotes, but... as for high points, I would definitely say the 3DS is way up there, because I love handheld gaming and it looks great. And low point, motion controls and 3D.
Zelda Demonstration Waja?
Zelda Demonstration. I heard that once they actually demoed it to people, it was perfectly fine, but yeah. You know, they definitely had their iPhone moment. It's like,
it was funny how they did make a, you know, reference to that. They're like, if everyone could turn off their Wi-Fi, please. You know, jokingly. So that was kind of light in the mood then.
All right. Well, that was E3. Thanks for letting me know how it was. I'm sure our listeners are pleased as well. This is the part where we wind the podcast down. And normally we'd talk about upcoming co-op releases, but since I wrote these notes a week ago, this is now past co-op releases. On the 22nd, we had Transformers War for Cybertron come out for the 360, PS3, and PC. And if our notes are correct, then Sin and Punishment 2 Star Successor came out today. And if it came out...
Nintendo always releases Sundays
Yeah.
for their first-party stuff.
So a new shooter from Treasure is usually a good thing. So I would very much like to check that out. Let's see. You know, as an avid reader and or listener, you will know that Co-Optimus has no dearth of great reviews and features. And in the past few weeks since the last time we recorded one of these, we had reviewed Green Day Rock Band, Mario Galaxy 2. I reviewed the Primal wireless gaming headset and microphone. There was a rather humorous review of Failtastic Clash of the Titans.
Best review graphic ever.
Yes. I don't know why. I felt a little stiff since reading that. Kat reviewed Soldier X2, and I'm glad she did it because I did not like the first one at all. And we had our Beyond Co-op for the month of June, which had FIFA World Cup 2010, Dimension 2, Blur, Split Second, 3D Game Heroes, and the Failtastic Alpha Protocol. Let's see. As for features, we had an E3 2010 preview, which has been completely rendered irrelevant by what we just did for the past 90 minutes. Jason put together another Indiana Co-op article. I'm trying to say episode, but it just doesn't roll. So an Indiana Co-op and the Conjurer's Octagonal Excursion, which, you know, if you don't want to read it after that title, then get the hell off my website.
No shit. And I will say that because of the E3 thing, I missed a week or whatever, but the next one that's going to come up is actually going to be a little bit different, and I'm hoping to put something together for that that's a little bit more like an interview sort of situation. That's all I'm teasing.
Investigative journalism.
Yes.
That's
hard-hitting. Reporting from the shores of Africa.
and last but not least, we had a rather attention-getting article by Mark on called Renovating Game Room, How to Fix Xbox Live Classic Gaming Showcase, which I definitely recommend reading if you have any love for retro games at all.
Yes.
Let's see. We do have some news. Co-Optimus has partnered with the t-shirt producers at Split Reason. We have an affiliate store where you can buy all manner, well, three designs anyway, of Co-Optimus branded and co-op themed t-shirts. And I have written here that it'll be like Mike and Nick caressing your nipples gently all day if you wear one of these shirts.
And so that doesn't, like, make those shirts fly off the store shelves. Nothing will.
Well, it's funny. One of my coworkers, after the store went live, I posted something that said, you know, buy stuff with the link. And one of my coworkers went and bought all the designs. So we've at least sold one of each.
Yeah, I bought them too, and my cat bought some. And they're really nice.
They are really nice. The Co-op Revolution one particularly came out well, although I spotted a mistake I made on it.
Polygon.
It's something that only I will see because I made it, but it was something I had on my list of things to fix before I submitted it, and I didn't fix it. So,
Mike fail.
Yeah, Mike fail. But the quality is great, and they are. You know, the shirts look to be of a good quality, and they're it was an interesting experience setting all that stuff up. So please make it worth the time that we spent, and we had the contest winner whose design was added to the store as well. So make their effort worth it as well. So to wrap things up, if you like the podcast, please leave us feedback on iTunes, and you can follow us on Twitter. We are at Co-Optimus without the dash. And, it's been 90 minutes, guys.
Yep.
This wow.
is the longest podcast since the internet's Phil Kohler came on. And, boy, these are a marathon. If that's all, then I guess we'll be seeing you in 2 weeks, and hopefully we'll be more regular in our releases. Hopefully life and everything will not keep getting in the way.
Yeah, I know my life's finally settling down. So
yeah, you moved into your place.
Yeah, it was E3, wedding photography, moving in a 6-day span. So
yeah, crazy go nuts. So Jason, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for, you know, reliving these horrible memories, Nick. You know, I know you don't like to tell that lady cop story, but man, that was entertaining.
So anyway, I like to tell it, so it's okay.
Anyway, thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you in a fortnight.